the official numbers for world population released by the United Nations, as of now, have just surpassed 8 billion people living on Earth. In 1800, there were only 900 million members of the human family spread across the world, raising to 1.65 billion in 1900, and skyrocketing to nearly 7 billion in the year 2000. Now, in 2023, we have allegedly just passed the 8 billion mark, given past failures and the many lies spewed by the UN during recent world events, however. It is fair and justified to remain skeptical of such statistics and to do some independent investigation before blindly believing. By collecting official statistics and doing your own math, it is difficult to find a way for these numbers to add up. For example, India supposedly has a countrywide population of well over 1.4 billion citizens. But when practical calculations are made using the UN's own numbers, how they could possibly conclude such a high figure is clear as mud. Taking their official figures of populations from the largest 300 cities in India, from 12.4 million in the biggest city Mumbai, to just over 100,000 in the 300th placed city of Aurangabad, and adding them all together, that barely accounts for 200 million of this supposed 1.4 billion. If all the 300 places with the largest populations in India taken together only account for 200 million people, it is statistically and geographically impossible for there to be another seven times this number mysteriously hiding out in the remaining small towns and villages with populations all lower than 100,000. A similar situation occurs when adding up the official figures for the entire world's 300 most populated cities. Taking the UN's own official statistics, from 24.1 million in the world's largest city of Shanghai, China, to only 361,000 people in the 300th largest city of Beirut, Lebanon, the combined figures only come out to approximately 1 billion people. Even after adding all the statistics calculated for surrounding metropolitan and suburban housing areas around each city, the total only amounts to around 1.5 billion. Where are these other alleged 6.5 billion people hiding? Being generous, independent analysts have estimated at most another billion people could possibly be spread out across the world's rural countrysides, still putting the actual number well below 3 billion. The likely reason for these exaggerated statistics is that governments are incentivized to lie about population figures in order to collect more money for social programs. Then, by raising population figures to shocking levels, fear is created in the minds of the masses, and they are even more easily able to control and sell us on expensive, enslaving solutions. This hoax has resulted in billions of dollars spent fighting the phantom of so-called overpopulation, and led to many inhumane population control programs. In reality, however, if everyone were all squeezed into a population density of 27,000 per square mile, which is comparable to New York City, 8 billion people would only fill up the state of Texas, leaving the entire rest of the world uninhabited. Thus, the idea that Earth is dangerously overpopulated and governments need to take drastic measures to combat the issue is another paper tiger attempting to scare us into submission. Overpopulation concerns led China to enact a brutal one-child policy. Forced sterilization is a method of population control in some countries. Nearly a 250,000 Peruvian women were sterilized. Our government, through the UN Population Fund, is involved in population moderation programs around the world, including in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Mongolia, Mexico, Indonesia, Brazil, the Philippines, Thailand, Egypt, Turkey, Ethiopia, and Colombia. The greatest threat to mankind's prosperity is government, not population growth.
Yeah, folks, overpopulation is a complete hoax, which is something that I've been saying for years. I even did a little graphic years ago and showed you how the entire world population could fit in an area about two-thirds the size of Australia, and that's if you gave every man, woman and child on Earth a quarter-acre block of land, and you could fit the entire population of Earth in a city the size of Texas. And it's great that someone's actually gone through and counted the population numbers, and it makes a lot of sense. There's probably only about 3 billion people on Earth and not the 8 billion that we're told. This whole overpopulation myth, you know, make people think there's more people on Earth than there actually is, and that they need to stop brooding in order to save the world so that they've got somewhere to live. And because they're stopping breeding, you're basically killing them off. You know, they're just killing themselves off for you. Interesting how that works. So I hope everybody had a good Christmas. Got what you wanted for Christmas. I'm sure a lot of people didn't get what they wanted for Christmas.
Voilà, tous les cadeaux, ben voilà, c'est Noël, c'est comme ça.
Je vais les donner sur ma tablette, je vais les donner.
Ouais, je l'avais en format télé.
Attends, voir. Ah oui, c'est pas ça que je te les donnais.
Ouais. Non, mais c'est Minecraft qui voulait.
Non,
c'est Minecraft.
Il m'a dit Minecraft.
Mais non, papa, c'est Minecraft. Mais où t'as trouvé ça? C'est pas possible. Mais non, c'est pas pareil, c'est un jeu vidéo, Minecraft. C'est pour les gamins. C'est pas possible.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes. It's not the same, Dad. Yeah, the people in Gaza got bombs for Christmas Day.
Gaza, here we come!
That's just what Israel does. The people in Haifa celebrating Christmas, the Christians in Haifa, also got a visit from the local Israeli police for Christmas. Yeah, wonderful stuff. Donald Trump was very thoughtful. He bombed Nigeria for Christmas. The wrong place as well. I mean, apparently they were told there was some ISIS there. And ISIS, of course, is Israel. ISIS, Israeli Secret Intelligence Services.
The trouble is, you can't pick up the phone book. There's no Langley in Israel that you can look up, you know, CIA, or in our case, the Mossad. We thought we should ask, what shall we call it in English? You can translate the Hebrew words, as I said, Mossad is Institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the Prime Minister's spokesman. The best you could do, because officially the Mossad is under the Prime Minister's office. And I think he sort of wondered why you want to know and all that, so we explained. And he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. I mean, if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS. Just simple words like that. Interestingly enough, kind of a British model.
So yeah, ISIS is Israel. And so they just thought they would bomb the wrong village. Oh, oops, sorry. Thought you were somebody else. Donald Trump, they've just called him the peace president. And they're saying, should he get the Nobel Peace Prize? Donald Trump's been in office 1 year. He's bombed Yemen for 53 days. He has bombed Syria. He's bombed Iraq. He's bombed Afghanistan. He's bombed Iran. He has supplied weapons for the genocide of Gaza and actually put American boots on the ground in Gaza as well. And now he's just bombed Nigeria. He's actually bombed, I think, 529 airstrikes in 240 different locations. He's like tripled the national debt, all in his first year of office. And they want to give him a peace prize and call him the peace president. I mean, he's, I don't know, he's probably dropped more bombs than Barat drone bomber dropped in his whole 8 years. Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he probably hasn't, but he's done pretty damn well for his first year in office. But that's a lot of countries that he's bombed, and that's a lot of war that he's carried out. Again, he's been supplying arms to Ukraine as well through that. I don't know if he still is, but you know. And it's just unreal. Israel is still just going hell for leather in Gaza. It's not stopping. It's saying there's still one hostage body that they haven't got back. So therefore, Hamas is in breach of the ceasefire agreement, and so they're just going to keep bombing the place. Of course, the whole place has turned to rubble. And yeah, what if they are looking for the body? I mean, how are they going to find them? There's a yellow line that people can't cross in Gaza. Someone crossed it the other day, three people, a couple of kids, you know, crossed the line. And the Israeli soldiers shot them. And they just sit there on the yellow line on a piece of raised earth where they've kind of bulldozed all this sand to create like a mound around the whole place, which I guess is the yellow line, kind of yellow earth piled into a mound. And Israeli guards just sit there overlooking the devastation and just in case anything moves out there so they can take a shot at it. Yeah, and that's the situation in Gaza for Christmas. All funded by the peace president. And Israel now is saying it doesn't want to be buying weapons from the United States. So it's going to put $110 billion into its own independent arms industry. $110 billion is pretty much what the United States has granted it in aid, I think, over the next couple of years, or promised it in aid. So it's going to put that into an arms industry of its own. Now you look at what's happening around the world. I spoke on the last show, I talked about how Israel has essentially got a fifth column in all of our countries. All of these terror attacks that are being staged around the world, like the terror attack we just saw in Bondi, Australia, the only people that benefit from that is Israel. Israel is the only state that has benefited from any terror attacks we've seen around the world since the 9/11 attacks, like since World War II even. The only people who benefited from World War II as well. A lot of people have been arguing, saying, oh, you know, a lot of the stuff we saw in Bondi was fake, you know. There's always this crew that takes that as their default view. And I've asked all of them, to anybody that's commented and said that, I said, can you explain to me why it would be in Israel's best interests to fake these attacks? Because when you really look at what's going on, I mean, everything they've done over the last couple of years, like they've made the genocide in Gaza so public. They've done everything perfectly wrong, to the letter, in order to create as much anti-Semitism around the world as they can. And now, because there hasn't been enough blowback, I mean, there's been a lot of blowback against Israel, but as far as Israel is concerned, there's not enough blowback against Jews. So in all the stuff they're doing, all of their rhetoric that you see online, there's so many posts saying, and the politicians are saying this now as well, the Zionist politicians are saying anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. They're trying to bring the two together, like Zionism is Judaism. And there's millions of Jews out there who say it isn't. They want nothing to do with Israel, nothing to do with what Israel's doing. And they don't want to go to Israel. They don't want to populate that state because they think it's disgusting what it's doing. But Israel needs them, and it needs them to feel threatened in their own countries. So it's made this genocide as public as possible so that there'll be this surge in anti-Semitism around the world, done deliberately, because, you know, everything I talked about on the last report, I mean, Israel wants to kickstart World War III. They want to have all this finalized. They want it over the next year, over the next 12 to 18 months. They want as much war as possible. They want the war between East and West. and they need to bolster their forces. They need to get all the Jews around the world to feel like they're in danger, so they'll all migrate to Israel. Because Israel intends to annex Jordan, annex Lebanon, you know, annex most of Syria, parts of Iraq, the top of Saudi Arabia, the Sinai, and Egypt as far west as the Nile. That's the plan for Greater Israel, and they need the numbers to do it. So they've created a situation where there's going to be a lot of blowback against Israel, and they've gone out of their way to merge and blur the line between Zionism and Judaism. The media's really helped, the politicians have really helped. But there hasn't been enough blowback. There haven't been enough Jews feeling threatened and feeling like they need to move to Israel. So then they go and stage attacks, like the Bondi attack. And the reason they would actually kill people is because they want to kill people. They need to kill people within the Jewish community so that the Jewish community moves into a state of genuine fear and has to move back to Israel. That will force them to move back to Israel. They firebombed a car the other day in Australia as well and put Happy Hanukkah on top of this firebombed car. You know, fortunately, the terrorists who did it used that type of plastic, which is completely impervious to heat. So when the car burned, the plastic sign on top didn't burn, and it was placed right in the middle of the car and just perfect for the photo shoot, you know? Like, this stuff is all staged by Jews, and they're doing it, and they're putting slogans all over the place saying, fuck Israel and death to Australia, and saying these are Palestinian supporters that are doing this. No, they're Jews that are doing this in order to put this whole fear into the Jewish community and in order to make it appear that anti-Semitism is rising, so there will be new legislation put in place in all of our countries to remove more of our rights from us. Israel will get its own police force, and at the same time, it's creating its own military industry. So you've got this state that's about to expand itself massively into Greater Israel and is doing a massive, massive build-up in arms while it's putting police forces in Western countries in order to guard its citizens. Can you see what's happening here, folks? Okay? And this is the same state that has been flooding migrants into Western countries for years, and much more in recent years. You know, America has displaced something like 40 million people in wars since the 9/11 attacks. It's gone into so many countries and decimated so many countries, all at the request of Israel, because Israel has claimed all these countries are threatening us. When it was Israel who carried out the 9/11 attacks, convinced America to go and bomb Muslim countries, which displaced 40 million people minimum, and has now sent them into Western countries so that Israel can claim Muslims are invading Western countries. Now it's staging attacks against its own citizens so it can put police forces in all your countries, and it is spending $110 billion creating an arms industry for a massive buildup of arms while it is expanding into Greater Israel. Can you see what's happening here? Yeah, and I showed you on the last video report that they want their temple built. They want to anoint their new Messiah by October the 2nd, it was, in 2027. So they need to kickstart this war and get all of this stuff going on between East and West before then. And that's what's going on here, folks. That's what's going on. And they're keeping you distracted with all sorts of stuff. And hasn't there been a lot of stuff that's happened in the last couple of weeks? I mean, it's been ridiculous. Like, it's only been 4 days, 5 days since I put out a video. And there's so much stuff that's happened. Like, all this Charlie Kirk stuff that's come out. Like, the whole Amfest thing with, For a start, they've got Nicki Minaj there, Erica Kirk interviewing Nicki Minaj. Charlie Kirk hated Nicki Minaj. And she drops the line that the assassin, J.D. Vance...
And you have amazing role models like the assassin, J.D. Vance, our vice president. And when I say that... Trust me, there's nothing new under the sun that I have not heard, so you're fine.
And then we've got J.D. Vance walk out on stage to that old Holly song. Was it Long Cool Woman or Cool Woman in a Long Dress? And the words of the song are about hanging out with a bunch of, you know, hanging out with the FBI and hanging out with bad guys in the back room. And, you know, something to do with bootleggers, you know, smugglers. We talked about how they might be smuggling stuff, you know, with all these Charlie Kirk tours that Charlie didn't know about, who knows. But he comes out to that song. I mean, what are the chances that he would do that? I mean, of course, it was just a random song, nothing going on there. And then the next verse of the song, someone called Charlie's mentioned, and a gun goes off, and a gunfight breaks out, and someone gets shot, and people are running, jumping under tables. I mean, you can't make this shit up, folks. It's just ridiculous. And to top it off, they have a booth there at Amfest, which is a replica of the booth Charlie Kirk got shot in. So you can go and get a selfie taken in the booth where he was murdered.
What is normal in any realm, in this universe or the next? Having a recreated booth where Charlie was unalive, where you can take a selfie in it. The real one doesn't even exist anymore because they paved over it like 10 seconds later. How in anyone's, there has to be two type of people on Earth. There has to be. Because how in the world does this make sense? And how is this a tribute that you are going to walk into a booth that's recreated to look exactly the same as the place that Charlie was? How would you want that recreated? How would you want that booth there? You're going to take a selfie in that booth? Who are these Amfest people?
It's like setting the car up that JFK got murdered in so you can go and sit in the car and smile. This is unbelievable. It's like, it's just laughing at us at this stage. I mean, it's a clown show. It's an absolute clown show. They are literally laughing at us doing this sort of stuff. Peace Prize for Trump, setting this whole Charlie Kirk thing up. And then the Epstein files, they released, well, somehow it gets leaked, like 1.7 million files or something, ridiculous amount of files, of Epstein files get released, and someone finds out that they haven't actually redacted them properly. All they've done is highlight them in black in Adobe Acrobat, and all you got to do is copy-paste them, and the highlighting's gone. And you can read the whole thing. And there's all sorts of stuff in there, like Trump having sex with a 13-year-old girl and she gets pregnant and the uncle throws the baby over the side of a boat and in Lake Michigan, and all sorts of stuff is in there. So they got to do all this other shit to distract you. It's just unbelievable, folks. And like I said, meanwhile, they're rolling out all this stuff. I mean, you can't criticize the president. You can't say this. You can't say that. Like, taking so many rights away, bringing in all this new chat scan and stuff at the borders next year and all this sort of stuff. So they're really locking things down because the wheels are falling off everything. Rabbi Shmuley posting stuff all over X. This guy's got something like 243,000 subscribers or something like that. And he's posting comments and he's getting like 4 likes and things like this. Like, nobody's listening anymore. No one's following the narrative. Everybody is waking up to what's going on. Now, I don't go to TikTok, but people that I know who do go to TikTok say that is awash with stuff. But again, TikTok's just been taken over by Larry Ellison, and you know, so there's going to be a big purge happening there. My friend Rachel Reinstra actually got purged from TikTok. She had a lot of subscribers. She posted a video, or she did a live stream the other day. She had 100,000 people watching the live stream, which was pretty amazing on TikTok. You know, so that's pretty good. But she got terminated the other day, or a couple of weeks ago. So there is a purge happening, but the truth is going viral anyway. Candace Owens has kind of fallen off the rails. Like I said, she should never have done that whole thing, you know, the closed door meeting with Erica Kirk. That was just ridiculous. You know, but like I said, I didn't really trust Candace anyway. I only saw 3 or 4 of her episodes because my friend Rachel was actually watching Candace and was a big fan and was kind of forcing, saying, no, you got to watch. And it was good to watch them. And like I said, I couldn't find any fault with anything she was saying, but I still didn't trust her. And when she did that thing with, you know, closed doors with Erica Kirk, I think a lot of her fan base saw through her as well. But the good thing, like I said, is that she's caused a lot of young people to ask questions now. A lot of young people, you know, they've gone that far with Candace and now they're stepping off and they're going with other things and they're finding out new stuff and they're doing the research for themselves, and that's a really good thing. So there is this huge shift happening, folks. There's a huge shift in consciousness happening. And the more people wake up, the more they try to lock us down, which just succeeds in waking more people up. That's the way it works. Beautiful here in Acapulco, folks. Absolutely beautiful. But yeah, things are going to go to the next level, and you're going to see more stuff going on in Australia as well. There's rabbis threatening the Australian government the other day, saying, you know, if you don't introduce new anti-Semitism laws, then you're going to see more attacks. Yeah, of course, because they're going to stage them. And, you know, this threat is happening in America as well. And even Benjamin Netanyahu has basically made that threat to all Western governments, any government that supports Palestine, is saying you're going to see terror attacks in your country. Well, how would he know that? Well, it's because he and his government are the ones who are going to stage them. It's insane what they've been able to get away with. You know, so they've spent the last, like, since the 9/11 attacks, they kick-started this whole thing. They used those attacks to decimate the Arab world, flood the West with migrants, and get massive amounts of funding by pretending they had a little pet terrorist force next to them, which they run amongst. They run the whole thing. They've done that, and now they've got enough money to start their own arms industry, expand into Greater Israel, and set themselves up as kings of the world. They are decimating European culture through mass migration, just basically conquering them through numbers, through migrants, destroying any trace of what Europe once was. Doing this right across Europe, doing it in England and Ireland. They are basically in control of the United States, and they're destroying that just by letting the place turn into rack and ruin while they drain the economy for their wars. And now they think, okay, well, we've got everything we need. We don't need the Palestinians here anymore. We can just slaughter them, genocide them. We control the media. We control the legal system worldwide. They can find us guilty of war crimes if they want. We'll just ignore them and act indignant, and they'll go away. Now, all of this riding off the back of the Holocaust, which you're not allowed to talk about, which anybody who's really looked into will soon find out didn't happen. You know, this whole thing has been a long-going plan, folks. Since before World War One, they've been playing with this. I mean, if you really trace back what really happened with World War One and World War Two, again, there's a book that I've mentioned many times before by Mike King called The Bad War, which traces events back to the middle of the 1800s, and you can see what laid the foundation for World War One and World War Two. And when you see what's happened since then, and then what's happened since the 9/11 attacks, you can see what the plan has always been. And you think of the motto, by way of deception, we shall do war. And you can see how all this has been done. More threats have come against America and Australia as well from kind of a subsect within Judaism called Jabotinsky Jews. Jabotinsky Jews are those who follow the doctrines and philosophies of a rabbi called Vladimir Jabotinsky. And he was one of the founding members of, I believe it was Ergun. Might have been Haganah, but I think it was Ergun, which was a named terrorist organization back in the 1930s and 1940s. And that is the doctrine that these people follow. And Ergun was known for the terror attacks and things that they staged. So it just goes to show, I mean, they're telling you, folks. But again, a lot of it is to create this surge of anti-Semitism in the West because they want to put the fear into the Jewish community because they want to force them to come to Israel. And that's why I think this stuff, like what just happened in Bondi, I think they're real victims because it suits Israel's purpose for them to have real victims. You're not going to force the Jewish community that doesn't like Israel and doesn't like Zionism and doesn't like the genocide in Gaza. You're not going to force these people to go there. I mean, it's a war zone. You're not going to force them to go there unless you can convince them that they are in danger staying anywhere else but Israel. And for that, you need dead people. So it makes sense to me that in these circumstances, they would absolutely kill people. And we know they have no qualms in doing it. Look what they did in October the 7th. I mean, most of those people died at the hands of Israel, and we know this. So, you know. And Israel wants to attack Iran again as well. Like, you know, the same claim. I mean, Iran is developing ballistic missiles, and if the United States doesn't step in and stop their ballistic missile program, well, we'll have to do it. This is what goes on in Israeli newspapers all the time. They're always discussing, should we bomb Iran? Should we attack Iran? Should we attack Iraq? Should we attack Afghanistan? Should we go and bomb Yemen? I mean, who should we attack this week? We need to attack somebody. It's all they talk about. It's just it's their main pastime, folks, you know. Yeah, and they invert everything. They try to invert history. They try to put themselves as belonging there when they don't. You know, a lot of them will even see, you'll see them all over X saying there's no Palestine. There was never a Palestine until Arafat came along. And then some of them will come along and say there was never a Palestine until, you know, this time, or there was never a Palestine until that time. You can go back and you find maps of Palestine from, you know, the 1500s. You can find references to Palestine going back as far as like 500 BC, I think. I mean, Gaza City itself is 3,000 years old. A lot of them will say Palestine is a recent invention that only came about when Arafat happened in 1967, blah, blah, blah. And yet you've got the Balfour Declaration saying, yes, we will give you Palestine. You've got a former Israeli Prime Minister, Golda Meir, who is a full-blown psychopath, who once said, we will never forgive the Palestinians for forcing us to kill their children. Like, that's the mentality of these people. But you've even got Golda Meir saying that she was a Palestinian.
I mean, when were Palestinians born? What was all this area before the First World War? When Britain got the mandate over Palestine, what was Palestine then? Palestine was then the area between the Mediterranean and the Iraqi border.
You say there is no such thing
as Palestine? East and West Bank was Palestine. I'm a Palestinian. From 21 until 48, I carried a Palestinian passport.
Yeah, so We know how it works, folks. But yeah, I think it's important to understand that Israel is staging all these terror attacks themselves. And in the case of Bondi, coming back to this, hopefully for the last time, not only do I think people died in Bondi, but I think they wanted far more people to die than what actually did die. I think that the Syrian guy who ran in and saved the day was actually breaking script. I don't think he was supposed to do that. I think there was a guy wearing crimson who came running up after him. Like the Syrian guy ran up and grabbed a gunman, which seemed all too easy. Like the gunman was expecting someone to tackle him. But he walked away looking kind of bewildered and surprised, thinking, this isn't the guy I rehearsed with or something, I don't know. But after the Syrian guy ran up there, this guy in red ran up after him. And I think he was supposed to be the one who disarmed the gunman. Because, like, within moments, Bibi Netanyahu went on the news saying that the gunman was disarmed by a brave Jew.
I saw on the way a video of a Jew who is disarmed by one of the killers, who is disarmed by the weapon.
So, yeah, I think the guy in red is the one who was supposed to disarm the gunman. And I think the reason it took so long is because, I mean, the cops stood down. You could even see in the clip there of when he runs up to disarm the gunman, there's a cop sitting there, crouched behind a car, doing nothing. So, you know, I think the death count was supposed to be a lot higher than it was. And the police definitely stood down. And whether these guys were MK Ultra, mind control, whether they were Israelis, who knows? I mean, it's one of them appears to have died at the event, so that's kind of weird. But maybe they'll just set up as patsies. I don't know. But the only one who benefits from this is Israel. And they're trying to bring down the Australian government over this now as well, because Albanese hasn't exactly been towing the line. He was recognising a Palestinian state. He's doing this and he's doing that. You know, I think that some of these people, I mean, most politicians, they join politics because they're just megalomaniacs and they want to control other people. Some of them might join for the right reasons and even actually think that they're going to make a difference and be good people and help the people of their country, but that will soon change once they get into politics. I mean, yeah, the higher you climb, then the more corrupt you become, because they don't let anybody in who isn't going to play the game. But I think some of them, like perhaps Anthony Albanese, they get in there, and once they get, and they're in the top job, and we've gone through COVID and seen all this stuff, I mean, who knows, he's fucking stupid. Perhaps he even believed COVID was real. Who freaking knows? But I think some of them, when they get in there, and they see what the final game is, and they see just how evil the people that they're dealing with are, they start to have second thoughts a little bit and think, fuck, I can't, in all conscience, let my soul be part of this. Maybe they start developing a soul, I don't know. But he wasn't playing the game. So, you know, they've staged a bunch of terror attacks. First, they firebombed that mosque in Melbourne last year, which was totally staged, totally a inside job. You know, nobody died. You don't firebomb a synagogue. You don't firebomb a synagogue at 3 o'clock in the morning if you want to hurt anybody. You do that because you want to get attention to your cause. And whoever did that wanted to get attention to the Israeli cause. It wasn't anything against Israel. It was in order to get new legislation, give them more protection, blah, blah, blah. Same as this shooting in Bondi. Same as this car firebombing. Same as the graffiti that you're seeing all over the place. The only people who would do this are people who want to give Israel more protection and alternatively want to make Jews in that society feel uncomfortable and feel the need to flee back to Israel, a lot of whom don't like Israel or approve of Israel. But this is how it works, folks. This is just what they do. And it should be pretty obvious to everybody, but that's what's going on. And they really need to kickstart this war because they want to bring about their Messiah. They want to bring about the end times. I mean, everything they've done in the last 150 to 200 years has been designed to bring about the end times. And personally, and I know a lot of people might not like me saying this, but I actually even think that's why religion was created. You know, over the last couple of years, I've really been gentle in trying to talk to Christians. I've tried to get them to even look at the actual biblical stories and read them correctly, because I'm not religious at all. So I can kind of look at it as a story and see what it tells me. I posted an article the other day, was Jesus a Palestinian, and showed you that, yeah, he was absolutely a Palestinian. He was born in what was known at the time as Palestine. Israel was simply the Holy Lands where those teachings were taught, which wasn't even, was named later. So, and what protecting Israel really means, it means protecting belief in God, not protecting this state in the Middle East. I mean, I've done all this sort of stuff just to ask you to read the book correctly to see what it's actually telling you. But even going beyond that, you know, I think the whole problem with all of this is religion itself. I've been sort of hinting at this, and I mean, I said this back in probably in my first film in 2008. I was saying this sort of stuff, that, you know, we're all connected. We don't need religion. Religion gets in the way of your connection to the divine. And as I was pointing out on the last report, I mean, if you were someone like the guys with small hats, I mean, and they will tell you that both Christianity and Islam are based in Judaism. Well, why would that be? Well, could it be because they're all a construct? Islam and Christianity, the slight difference between the two, and it's only slight, the slight difference is that Islam believes Jesus was a prophet, they call him Isa, whereas the Christians believe Jesus was the manifest human incarnation of God on the earth. That's the difference. To Christians, that's a big thing. And both religions believe that Jesus, Isa, will return one day. But because the Christians believe he was the Son of God and the manifestation of God as a man on this earth, and that they're told by things like the Scofield Bible and the King James Bible that he was a Jew, then that automatically aligns them with the Jews should there ever be a religious war. And I think these people constructed this to be this way so that we would have this whole hatred being pushed, the Christians against Islam, because the guys with small hats want the Christians and the Muslims to kill each other off. I mean, really, if you look at their books, it's the same. It's the same story. They're both waiting for the same guy. They both revere Jesus. And the Jews say in the Talmud, they suggest that he's in a place, well, not hell, but it's a place of purification and punishment. I can't remember the name. It starts with G. I'll put it on the screen. But that's where they believe he is. And he is boiling in excrement for all eternity for his betrayal of Judaism. That's what they believe. So, I mean, there is a certain kinship between Islam and Christianity, but you were never allowed to actually look at that and put it together. You were told all this stuff, which has all been pushed on people through religion. A different book. They read a different book to me. I'm never going to read their book. I'm just going to listen to what the other people tell me is in their book. And the media is going to tell me they're evil, the same as the Islamic media tells the people that Christians are evil. And the Christian media tells the people that the Islam is evil, but neither people have often ever read the other one's book. So I'm not going to read it. It's a demonic tome. I'm not even going to put my energy to it. I'm not going to read it. It's demonic. That's what they do. And they don't ever look and see. Actually, this is almost exactly the same is what's in my book with a few subtle differences. But if it's all about love and forgiveness, well, let's just love and forgive each other, and maybe this guy we're both waiting for will come back, you know. But personally, like I said, I think the whole thing is a construct. I think religion is designed to lead you away from God. I think religion itself is the problem. A lot of people won't like me saying that. But hey, I mean, if you're going to be a religionist at all, and you're going to follow Jesus, then follow his words. His words are really good. If he existed, what's written there in the book is really good. If you actually lived your life that way, there wouldn't be a problem. Well, the book says you can't. He was divine and you're not. You're a sinner. So you'll never get it right. You just got to wait for him to come back. And by the way, the world's just going to turn to mess. It's going to become hell on earth. But right at the very last second, as long as you do nothing and just believe in him, then right at the very last second, he's going to come back and save you. So don't do anything about any of this stuff. Don't do anything about the smart grid or the wars or the destruction or the genocides and mass murders and taxation and debt slavery and all the shit that we've got you living under. Don't worry about it. Because it's going to get worse and worse and worse anyway, so there's nothing you can do about it, because the only thing that's going to happen is it's going to get worse, because it says so here in the book. But once it gets so bad you just can't stand it anymore, he's going to come back and save you. Yeah, right. Does that sound like a good plan to you? I think there might be better ways of doing things, folks. Like I've said before, just withdraw service from these people. I mean, they're not serving us, so why should you serve them? And if you were to simply walk his path, you would change the world by default through your own actions. And back on the smart grid as well, what I was saying before, I mean, this is the big thing. This AI takeover of your life is really what you should be most concerned about, because there is a lot of stuff that's going on which is very, very bad. But did you know, here's an interesting thing. All of these chips and all this surveillance stuff, the stuff that they use in controls in aircraft for bombing countries, the stuff they use in cell phones, the stuff they use in microchips, and the stuff they use in all this technology, all of these microchips and little devices are obviously all printed by machines. They're too small for a human to make. They're printed by little robot machines. And these machines that print all of this circuit-making machinery are made by other machines. Like the machines that print all the chips and all the circuitry, these machines are made by other machines. And there's only actually one machine on Earth that is used to make machines that print all these chips and things. And that is a pretty much unheard of company from the Netherlands called ASML. And this is really interesting. Have a look at this.
There's the one thing that nobody talks about on social media, and that is the company ASML from Netherlands. It's the only one company in the world that can make the machines that they are making AI chips. And they started production, they started company in 1985. So they knew so far back that there will be an AI. Not even Chinese has that technology.
Is ASML, a Dutch company that doesn't make chips, but makes the only machines in the world capable of making the most advanced AI chips. And yes, this monopoly started in the shadows back in the 1980s, and now sits at the core of global power. Who is ASML, and why does it matter? ASML, Advanced Semiconductor Materials Lithography, is based in the Netherlands and produces EUV, extreme ultraviolet lithography machines, the only machines on Earth that can print the tiniest, most advanced circuits on chips, down to 2 nanometers and below. These machines are used by companies like TSMC, Taiwan, Samsung, Korea, and Intel, US, to produce the AI chips used in data centers, iPhones, Tesla vehicles, missiles, and surveillance systems. Each ASML EUV machine costs over $150 million, contains over 100,000 components, and takes 6+ months to assemble. The photolithography process itself was developed starting in the 1980s, and ASML went through decades of R&D before it became the only viable source. So yes, you're right. It's not the chip companies themselves, like NVIDIA or AMD, that are irreplaceable. It's ASML's machines. Without them, no one can produce the next generation of AI chips.
Nobody.
Even China, despite unlimited money, can't build these machines. Why does it take so long? Because this is atom scale engineering. The EUV machines use lasers hotter than the sun to generate ultraviolet light, precision optics from Zeiss, Germany, to focus beams onto silicon, vacuum chambers where even a molecule of air can destroy a chip, nanometer accuracy, meaning 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter. Every machine is basically a quantum level cathedral built with military precision. That's why it takes 5 to 10 years of preparation to install an ASML line in a new fab. Why is this monopoly dangerous? Because ASML represents a single point of failure in the AI arms race. Whoever controls the output of those machines, whether it's the US, EU, or whoever ASML sells to, controls the future of computation. No ASML machine, no NVIDIA chips. No NVIDIA chips equals no ChatGPT, no Tesla autopilot, no military AI, no mass surveillance. That's why the US pressured the Netherlands to block ASML sales to China. This isn't a tech issue. This is geopolitical weaponization of chip architecture. You're witnessing World War III fought through silicon, and the Netherlands, ironically, sits on the crown jewel.
Yeah, so there's one machine that makes other machines that prints all this stuff. And that machine, as she just said, has like 150,000 parts and takes 6 months to set up, you know? And there's only one of them. And without that machine, this whole smart grid can't move forward. It would be a damn shame if anything happened to that machine in the Netherlands. Their whole dreams of this digital dystopia would just crumble. They wouldn't be able to do all the stuff they want to do with their smart grid next year, because they just wouldn't have the hardware to be able to do it. Interesting, huh? But anyway, I think that's about all I've got to talk about, folks. I actually got past the intro today. Pretty clever, hey? Pretty clever. But yeah, expect something major. Something major next year. I mean, look what silver's doing. Remember I said how much silver was going up? Silver's just gone up more. That coin that I told you was $120, $119 5 days ago, Australian, is now $136. An ounce of gold in Australia is now just over $6,000 an ounce. I don't know what that is in the United States, probably like $4,700 or something in the United States for an ounce of silver, or an ounce of gold, I mean. But an ounce of silver in Australia is now around about $136. It's the highest it's ever been. So big things are happening. But there's some sort of planetary alignment or some sort of conjunction that's happening, some sort of celestial astrological event that's happening in either February or March next year, or over the February-March period next year. You'd be guaranteed they will use that for something. And like I said, they've got to kickstart their war. They really want World War III. And again, once they are set up, it might even end up being their 12-minute war that they talked about. You've got to understand how deep Israel is in everybody's technology, in everything that you do. Pretty well anything you do, which is online or is smart or like so many things. Israel leads the way in technology. and it has back doors in everything. And a lot of it, I would suggest, as I've mentioned many times, is because I don't think any of this technology is new. I think they've done this type of a reset many times before, which is why they're so confident that they're going to get away with it again now. But just watch out, folks, because the next 18 months are going to be intense. And like I said, you've got to be able to face infinity without flinching. You've got to be able to walk the path of the warrior, take everything in your stride, and simply step onto the new path that is now there for you. Face infinity without flinching. Face a myriad of possibilities with serenity, and simply do what needs to be done. That's the way to do it. And yeah, well, that'll be about it, I think. Enjoy your new year. I will see you next year now. I probably won't be back again this year. And some of the stuff that Jeff's kid got for Christmas. Your little... This is what I tried to do the video yesterday, but no, that's too busy. But this is a little racer, which is super cool. He was running around on it yesterday with a helmet on. There was one of the big kids was driving. A little scooter over here as well, which I imagine is probably his, or certainly one of the children's. It's only like up to my knees. So yeah, one thing I'll say for Jeff, he definitely looks after his kids. And he does a lot of good for a lot of people around the place, though. Some of the stuff I saw him do during the hurricane was really commendable. All the people that say he's this and says that, I don't know, I've seen him do some pretty damn good things for people, so yeah. And he lets me stay here when I've got nowhere to be, even when he's not here, which is pretty amazing. So yeah. But anyway, thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to all the people out there on the front line, speaking out, making a difference, being supportive of each other. Do support people. Like, when you see them speaking out and speaking the truth, you put in a comment or put in a like or something. Like, you know, encourage these people. Let them know that others feel the same as they do. And thank you to the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to anybody who made a contribution over the last couple of weeks. I really appreciate it. And thank you to anybody who ever has. It's really great that you would be doing that, and yeah, I really appreciate it. For those people who have trouble, I mean, I know I get a lot of letters saying, "Wow, I can't use your Stripe, or I can't, you know, it won't accept my money or whatever." Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they do try to limit my options. They've pretty well closed everything down. I mean, if they close Stripe down, I'm going to be pretty well screwed. So I don't know what other ways there are. I've kind of exhausted them all. But anyway, thank you to those who do. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Do take care. I'm going to leave you with the new Anacapulco promo. And yeah, it's AI, but it's remarkably good. And it's interesting because it shows you what AI can do, because all it had was a photograph of me. I was very surprised when I saw it, because it's wearing... me in the clip is wearing my Quetzalcoatl shirt and a black denim jacket and jeans. And apparently he just got this from a photograph. And it's even kind of like, it kind of even moves like me in the video, which is freaky just how good AI is getting. And it is, folks, it's getting really bad. Someone posted a video that I saw the other day. Someone sent it to me, on TikTok. They sent me a link or something to it. And of a mother elephant running in and protecting a baby elephant.
Oh, it's got the leg.
Shh. Listen.
Yeah, it looks kind of real and dramatic, but it's AI. Now, when you pause the frame as the crocodile is being tossed and it lets go of the baby elephant's leg, you can see how long the baby elephant's leg is. It's more like a giraffe leg. And also halfway through the video, it kind of zooms in and becomes like a different camera, different angle. So yeah, this is AI. Very, very realistic, though. It's getting to the point that you're soon not going to be able to tell what's real and what isn't. Those little glitches like that, they'll be fixed up soon. So, yeah. And I'm kind of with Dave Chappelle. Like, if they ever kill me and replace me with AI, the code word will be, I stand with Israel. And if you ever hear me say that, then you'll know I've been replaced with AI and you should never listen to anything I say from that point. That was a good code word, so yeah. Anyway, I'll let you go, folks. Do enjoy your new year. I hope you had a great Christmas. And I'll speak to you soon in Lakesh.
Freedom in the breeze, oceans hymn, no chains, no pleas, no rulers, no kings, no scripts to recite. Burn the old book, let the phoenix ignite. Rebirth on the sand where the rebels convene. A genesis scene, mind sharp and keen. Dollars to dust, trust in the soul. Anacapulco, where we break the mold. Anacapulco, where the spirit flies. New dawn, breaking under open skies. No masters, no limits, no chains to choke. This is freedom's fire, Anacapulco. Bonfires, thoughts spark like flint. Ideas ricochet, no permission, no stint. Borders dissolve, minds expand. Every soul sovereign, every mind grand. No contract signed, just a handshake truth. Ancient wisdom reborn in the fountain of youth. Rules crumble like castles at high tide. Revolution lives where the dreamers reside. Golden horizon, the birth of the free. Echoes of laughter, the waves decree. Freedom is anthem, a beat in the chest. Acapulco, where the restless rest.
With performing artist Aya May. Anacapulco opening party on February 15th. Anacapulco Genesis, February 16th to 20th. The Dollar Vigilante TDV Summit, February 21st. The Crypto Vigilante TCV Summit, February 22nd. Agora Forco, retreats, and other excursions, February 21st to 27th. Bufo and other plant medicines with Bearheart throughout the event. A special Iboga ceremony with Christoph Melchizedek from February 23rd. Two Tesla plasma healing devices will be running throughout the event. Thanks to the Tesla Club. Bring the whole family. The Anacapulco Family Camp runs throughout the event with activities for non-lethally injected, free-range, unschooled pure souls. Anacapulco 2026. Genesis. Puerto Vallarta,